Good morning. Today is October 10th, 2014. My name is Gary Gramling, and I'm calling the meeting for the regularly scheduled meeting for the month of October to order. As usual, I have a couple of housekeeping things I have to read before we can proceed, so I'll do that. Members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission must fill out a speaker request form. You can obtain the request form from Angie over here in the corner. And speakers normally are limited to 3 minutes. Collective testimony by those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes total per side. The public may ask for an item to be pulled from the consent agenda by submitting a speaker request form as soon as the consent agenda is announced. Comments on non-agenda items are heard at the beginning of each meeting. Please fill out a white-colored speaker request form before the meeting starts, or rush up now and hand it to our recording secretary, Angie Rosati-Rios, who's over here in the corner. To speak on a matter listed on the agenda, please complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording secretary before the item is called. If you intend to speak in opposition to the item, please fill out a pink-colored form. If you plan to speak in support, fill out a gold-colored form. With that, we've taken care of the basic housekeeping. At this moment, I don't see any speaker request forms, but you still have time to rush out and get one. Okay. At this time, we do ordinarily hold ourselves open for public comment. Having not received anything, we'll go on to the commissioners' comments. Commissioners, do any of you have anything to speak out on today? Seeing no indication of such, I'll speak out and just say that last evening had an opportunity to attend an awards dinner put on by the Downtown Partnership, which the Housing Commission is one of the partners in the Downtown Partnership, and it recognized a lot of really great people and organizations that have contributed to downtown San Diego being what it is. And I bring that up in part because sitting 2 seats to my right, your left, is Frank Ertussen, who is not only a valuable member of our board, but in a couple of months will become the chairman of the Downtown Partnership Board. And you guys do a great job. Living in downtown in the East Village, I'm very much aware of the activities of your people out in the field. They do a great job. They're very courteous. And I'm sure that well-run organization is just going to get better during your tenure. So that's all I have to say on the issue. We do have a quorum. One of our members is absent because of illness, and that's Maggie Davis. And she'll be coming back to us, I'm sure, in time for our November meeting. And Mr. Waring has an excused absence for the day. Okay. Mr. President, do you have any comments?
Yes, sir, I do. I have 4 brief items, Mr. Chairman. The first, as the board remembers, our previous CFO, Chief Financial Officer Nicole DeBerg, left us early last month for a job back in the private sector, and we have hired her replacement. And our new CFO, who will begin on the 27th of this month, is a woman named Leslie Levinson. Leslie is currently the CFO at the San Diego Foundation, previously worked at the SDS Youth Foundation, and is very well qualified to succeed Nicole. So we feel fortunate to get someone of Leslie's caliber. And I'll point out that Bobby Spoon played a big role in helping us decide who the proper person was going to be. So Bobby, again, thank you for your guidance and support here. 3 other items of policy matter. The first, and as you all remember, this one is huge. The council on Monday adopted a new housing impact fee proposal. and it's called Housing Impact Fee, Linkage Fee, Workforce Housing Ordinance, and it's been called other assorted names, so I cannot repeat up here either. It's been debated, it's been in effect since 1990. It's been debated any number of times since then, pretty intensely over the last 5 years. What gives me particular comfort is that the impact fee that Councilmember Cole proposed, seconded by Council President Gloria and then passed on a 7-1 vote, is very similar to a compromise I proposed 3.5 years ago. So I think that the council, as Councilmember Gloria said from the dais Monday, the council wound up pretty much where it started when this debate heated up in 2011. And I think the impact fee represents a significant accomplishment and is a reasonable compromise among all parties. And I'm particularly glad that this agency was able to engage in this process without harming relationships with important people in town on all sides of the issue. So I recommend this revised impact to you. It's not a done deal quite yet. It will come back in ordinance form to the council on October 21st, my understanding is, and then be confirmed on a second reading, and I assume that it will go through as recommended. But this is, for my time and energy, is huge. Second issue that has occurred since the last board meeting that is also huge is on September the 26th, I joined Mayor Faulkner, City Council President Gloria, to announce a major improvement to the way the homelessness issue is managed in San Diego. And that is, we have expanded a system called the Homeless Management Information System, HMIS, to include all of the major homelessness providers in the community. Now, this may sound like just a bureaucratic mishmash, but it's not. It basically changes the way that service providers use information to make sure that the people who need help, who are homeless, get it in an efficient fashion. This system is being supported. The expansion by $400,000 in funding out of the current year's city budget, supported by both the mayor and city council president, and it will now be used by more than 50 public and private nonprofit agencies, including the Housing Commission, that assist homeless individuals and families. And it will hopefully put everybody on the same page and help to accomplish and measure and report on outcomes rather than just outputs. Related but different, another significant occurrence since the last board meeting is on Tuesday this week. The City Council approved the contract for operation of the single adult emergency winter shelter and the location at 16th Street and Newton Avenue. Now, you might say that here we go again. It's the same thing all over again. It's really not. As you all may remember, early in the summer, the veterans shelter was approved, as well as Cortez Hill and some other city-funded homelessness programs. It took a little longer to get to the winter shelter downtown. But because of the HMIS system that I just mentioned, there will be a new intake process used at the downtown winter shelter, which opens on November the 1st. So rather than now for just first come, first serve, and stay as long as you want to, there will be an intake, there will be screening, there will be referrals from other service providers, and the goal is to ensure that the most vulnerable individuals are served first. Another first will be that the occupants may remain in the shelter going forward no more than 45 days. The issue is not that the shelter becomes a permanent or semi-permanent residence, but to shift homeless individuals from the shelter into permanent supportive housing, which goes along with the dominant philosophy of housing, the housing first model. While at the shelter as well, the individuals will receive supportive services. That is a big difference. Perhaps an even bigger difference is that the council engaged in some substantive debate. Number one, about the location of the shelter, once again being at Newton on Newton Avenue, where it has tended to be over the last few years. And secondly, over the inadequacy of a sprung shelter, a tent, being acceptable as a residence, homeless for homeless folks or otherwise. So the Housing Commission has been tasked, I think for the right reasons, and this is a good thing, to begin a process to look for a permanent shelter location that is a real building. So we have not, that's going to be a daunting prospect, I understand, but this is the right time to begin looking at that. And the Housing Commission has a meeting, actually right after this board meeting, to begin talking with some local providers about it. So what we're going to do is look to see what's out there, what the possibilities are. Not a small issue is what the cost is. But my hope, our goal, and I think the council's intent, is that hopefully this winter will be the last time we have the tent either downtown or on Midway. And, Mr. Chairman, that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. As you know, I recently had an opportunity to talk with some members of the police department's HOT team, and we talked about this winter shelter. So the changes, a couple of the changes that you announced are very important, specifically the better screening and also the 45-day limitation, because what they informed me of was that in the last few years, as they've been watching it, the a lot of the residents who end up coming to the winter shelter have been living in SROs and paying their own rent up until then, and then they give their notice and check out of the SROs and check into the winter shelter. So if we have a better way of screening so that we're taking care of the people who really need the service, and then we have a limitation, maybe we can minimize that impact.
Yes, sir. And I think it might be useful, particularly for the newer members of the board and also members of the audience and for the record, that the city emergency shelters, the process has been a work in progress over the years. Prior to 2010, the Housing Commission was not involved at all. The city handled this process out of the mayor's office. Former Mayor Sanders asked that the Housing Commission take this process over in 2010, which was an interesting year to take it over, for those of you who remember. And it's been a fairly smooth operation since. It changed not through planning, but through happenstance between 2012 and 2014. As you all remember, the shelters both were seasonal shelters. They were to open around Thanksgiving, close before Easter. They were for the winter months here when it is chilly and wet. In 2012, we elected a new mayor, Mayor Filner, and in early 2013, he decided that the shelter should be open year-round. So the shelter actually was open from November of 2012 to July of 2014, the longest continuous stretch has ever been in operation. During that time, the city went through four different mayors, a lot of different staffing changes down the street. Our own homelessness, the head of our homelessness section here turned over in that same time period. We just had a lot of changes in the way the shelters operated. And then when the shelters shut down in July, the Housing Commission had a very short window of time to reopen it again. All of this speaks to the fact that there is no normal anymore and that this changed over the years. I think that all these changes have produced some will on the council to do some sort of a better, more permanent solution for this function. So that's additional background on how we're where we are right now. But I'm very hopeful over the next year for improvement here.
We hope so. Okay, next I'm going to propose the consent agenda for this meeting, and I'm proposing that items 100 and 101 be moved to the consent agenda. I'll make that motion. Is there a second? Kelly has seconded the motion. Any discussion? Hearing none, then I'll call the question. All in favor of the proposed consent agenda, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Consent agenda is approved. Thank you very much. So, item 102, Paseo Glen Apartments.
Good morning, Chair Gramlin and Housing Commissioners. I'm Ann Kern, Vice President of Housing Finance and Program Development in the Real Estate Division. And with me is Carrie Tapia. She's our program analyst in our servicing department, and she works on our multifamily servicing as well as our first-time homebuyer program. In January 2013, the Housing Commission Board approved a loan modification for this development, Tax Paseo Glen, based upon a finance plan utilizing 9% tax credits. The borrower, the Association for Community Housing Solutions, or TAX, was unable to secure the tax credit investor due to the size of the project and the limited amount of tax credits generated by the proposed rehabilitation. Since then, TAX has been looking at alternative financing and has secured other funding sources for the proposed rehabilitation. Carrie will give you an overview of the requested action, the rehabilitation scope of work, and the proposed finance plan.
Good morning. The report before you today is a request to approve the subordination and modification of the existing Housing Commission loan for the Paseo Glen Apartments in order to preserve the affordable housing complex. Staff recommends the Commission approve, one, the subordination of the Housing Commission loan during the construction phase to a new construction loan of up to $1,650,000. Two, upon completion of the rehabilitation, subordination to a new first trustee not to exceed $450,000. And three, to a new HCD multifamily housing program loan of $1,422,998. And four, approval to reduce the Housing Commission share of residual receipts from 50% to 39%. The Paseo Glen Apartments is a 13-unit permanent supportive housing project in Mission Hills owned and operated by TAX, which serves the chronically homeless mentally ill population. TAX purchased and rehabilitated the property in 2003, which was partially funded with the existing $573,000 Housing Commission loan. A capital needs assessment completed in July 2013 showed the buildings require substantial rehabilitation to the building system, exterior. Housing Commission rehabilitation staff has performed an inspection of the property and found the capital improvements are sorely needed. In this photo, you'll note the staircases at the property are health and safety concern and are in need of repair. These photos show heating systems and a kitchen that are nearing the end of their useful life. In these photos, you'll note the poor condition of the bathrooms. These photos represent only a few of the rehabilitation needs at the property. Through the infusion of $1.6 million in capital, TAX will be able to complete a gut rehabilitation, which will preserve this supportive housing project for many years. The proposed scope of work includes updating plumbing, electrical, and mechanical systems, new kitchens and bathrooms, new hard surface flooring, a new roof, ADA site upgrades, and the installation of an elevator to make the unit accessible to all tenants. TAX has received loan commitments from the construction and permanent lenders. TAX has asked the and the Housing Commission has asked to subordinate all of our debt to all three loans. The MHP loan requires an annual debt service payment of an annual debt service payment plus a share of residual receipts proportionate to their investment. This requirement would have resulted in a split of residual receipts of 50% to tax, 36% to MHP, and 14% to the Housing Commission. However, taxes agreed to split their share of residual receipts with the Housing Commission, resulting in 39% to the Housing Commission and 25% to tax. As noted in the photos, this project is in dire need of rehabilitation. Without the infusion of capital, this project will continue to deteriorate and will become uninhabitable in the near future. Staff is supportive of this project, the preservation of the buildings, and the mission of TACS to serve the chronically homeless mentally ill population. This concludes my presentation. Kimberly Russell Shaw and John Walters of TACS are here in the audience should you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions? Commissioner Tessel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What are we figuring the cost per square foot of this renovation to be?
The total development costs are estimated at $178,000 per unit and the hard cost at $79,000 a unit. This project is subject to state prevailing wage, which did increase the cost.
And what's the square footage per unit? So it's about $400 a foot. I'm sorry? Or five?
Yeah. 278%.
How long have we been involved in this project?
We've been in the project since 2003.
Since 2003, as a lender?
Yes.
Strictly a lender?
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone on staff, or is there anything in the file that indicates what the condition of the property was in 2003 when we became involved?
The project was an acquisition and rehab, so I imagine there was some rehabilitation needs at the time, and rehab work was done at the time.
Down. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Kim Russell Shaw. I'm from TACS. In 2002, we purchased the building. It was around November. In 2003, we did a very minor rehab to make it livable for our tenants. At the time, there was some space that was non-conforming. We needed to convert that into a communal space for our tenants, which we did. We also had some minor repairs to roofing. We had, if you note, there's three actual buildings. One of the buildings had a complete roof replacement. And I believe we had new windows installed at that time. The amount of the rehab that we actually had was about $186,000. So there wasn't significant amounts of money to be able to invest in developing the project at that time. However, it was livable and habitable and has passed HQS inspections.
When you say you replaced the roof, was that a replacement where the older roof was removed down to the sheathing and then built back up, or was that purely a second layer of roofing?
On 1851, it was torn. It was brought right down to the. 1865. It was brought right down. The sheathing was removed, replaced, and then new shingles put on.
And that was the only building that was re-roofed.
Correct.
I happen to know that, just so that you know, I'm a FHA certified inspector, property inspector, and what I see here, frankly, from these photographs, would not pass my health and safety inspection. Mm-hmm. Now, the HQS standards are different, and I would maintain that they're probably lower than what the standards are for FHA purchase properties on that. I'm very concerned about the condition of the property as I see it, because what I see from the photographs, and I apologize, usually I try to drive by the property before we vote on anything. Wasn't able to do that this time. But from the photographs, I see a property that has experienced quite a bit of neglect. And I'm concerned about that, especially when I'm told that there was rehabilitation work done in 2003. Okay. I have been known to vote no or to take properties off the agenda when I feel like the standard is low. What I'm hearing now is that we're going to rehabilitate this property with the new loan. And I'm going to insist on staff making sure that that rehabilitation effort is at a high enough and an appropriate level so that we have a good living environment for the people who are going to be there. This agency has never been known for maintaining substandard housing, and so when we're going to do a rehab such as this, then I want it to be at the highest levels so that it will pass appropriate inspections, not just HQS. Maybe I'm biased there. By conflict of interest, I'm not allowed to be an HQS inspector, so on that. So those are my comments. Commissioner Moraga, I thought I saw you had a question.
Yeah, if this passes and the rehab's done and the infusion of cash is there to do that, how long would this extend the life of the building at its proper livable, ability?
I mean, I would guess between 15 and 25 years. Typically what we see in all of our developments is developers will come back at about year 15 to recapitalize with additional tax credits or other funds. So generally 15 to 25 years. And it is important to note this project does serve the chronically homeless, mentally ill. And so, yes, the cash flows are much less than you would have in a typical affordable development, let alone a market rate development, and it is a small project. And I do want to note, yes, in 2003, the total development cost was $1.6 million, and of that, the acquisition was $1.2 million, so it was a minimal rehab at that time.
Commissioner Spoon?
So to clarify, our role here is as a lender, and what we're being asked to do is to approve the subordination of the debt. So the approval of the rehab and of the rehab costs and all of that was not a function of this board. Is that correct?
Yes, this item today is just to approve the loan modification and the subordination so that they can acquire the other funds to do the rehabilitation. We are not putting any additional funds from the Housing Commission in this development.
Well, I'd like to make a motion to approve it as stated.
Okay, Commissioner Spoon has moved approval of the proposal. Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Tussin has seconded it. Is there any additional discussion? No indication of such. We'll call the question. All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much, and we're looking forward to a shining project there.
We'd like to thank you as well.
So okay.
Item 103, Mr. Gentry.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is a very short workshop that we put together for today based on the conversations at this board meeting last month. And last month there was a clear consensus among the board that there were concerns about the cost of some of our developments, particularly those dealing with the 9% low-income housing tax credit program. We took your concerns to heart. We have already initiated some processes to deal with this issue, and we thought we'd give you a brief workshop this morning where we are to date and where we're headed with it.
Good morning, Chair Gramling, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, Mr. Christensen. I'm Debbie Ruane, Senior Vice President of the Real Estate Division, and with me is Ann Kern, Vice President of Real Estate Finance and Program Development. Last month at the September Housing Commission Board meeting, staff was requested to provide additional information regarding affordable housing construction costs to the Board on future real estate transactions. We recognize that the intent of this action is to understand the cost drivers that differentiate affordable housing from market rate development. And by doing so, we can identify areas where we can effectuate change in the industry in an effort to improve the efficiency of affordable housing production and sustainability. The purpose of this workshop today is to apprise the Board of actions taken since last month and to outline steps going forward so that we can provide you that requested information. Number one, at your direction, we have amended our two-year strategic plan to include this as one of our tactics. It will be under Goal A, creating and preserving quality affordable housing. Number two, on October 1st, our President and CEO convened a meeting with Real Estate Division staff and five of the region's top affordable housing developers, four of which who have worked extensively throughout the state as well as in San Diego, and one which is a subsidiary of the Housing Commission. Two of these developers are for-profit agencies and three are nonprofit agencies, and they are Wakeland Housing and Development Corporation, Chelsea Investment Corporation, Affirmed Housing Group, Community Housing Works, and Housing Development Partners. We consider this group of developers to be reputable, seasoned, and as concerned, if not more so, than we are with the high cost of affordable housing development. The agenda for the meeting was to outline the challenge and to request the help of our development partners in identifying the key differences between affordable and market rate development. There was a robust discussion over the challenges, such as consistency, given that no two deals are alike, and also our ability to gather the necessary data from the private sector, which does not share the same transparency the public sector does. However, all developers enthusiastically agreed to participate with the Housing Commission in this endeavor. Number three, since our October board meeting, Housing Commission staff had created a draft Excel template. Did I say October board meeting? September, excuse me. We've created a draft Excel template, and the purpose of this is to include it into future board reports so that it will show a comparative matrix of the difference between affordable and market rate costs. Staff will circulate this template to our development partners for their edits and suggestions. We'll collect their input and convene another meeting to discuss the ultimate format to be used by the Housing Commission going forward. And this meeting will be to gain consensus from the group regarding the data points we're collecting to ensure that the information can provide the basis for requested industry changes and provide answers sought by our board to promote education, industry reform, and efficiency. Staff is also revising current forms for inclusion in future board reports, such as our standard pro forma, so that it includes line items, information such as direct and indirect costs, financing costs, hard costs, permits and fees, etc., and comparing specific affordable housing costs to market rate costs. With this information, we can frame the problem, our position, and our goals. Our President and CEO will use this information to seek reform in Sacramento and elsewhere with organizations such as the California Tax Limit Allocation Committee, TCAC, that impact the cost of affordable housing development. Mr. Gentry has already requested several organizations to look for representation in Sacramento to assist us in this endeavor. Number four, Housing Commission staff will meet with our development partners on a regular basis to explore ways to advocate for lower costs both at the local, federal, and state level. In addition to this group of developers, we also intend to include representatives from the private sector, such as the Building Industry Association and general contractors who can help contribute to this effort. Finally, if the board agrees with this approach, we'd like to present our findings in a progress report to the Real Estate Committee and then to our board during our next strategic plan update, which should occur first quarter of next year, since this has now been added to one of our goals. In addition, and at the time of these presentations, we'll also provide historical information about Housing Commission developments as well as other tax credit projects in the state of California so you can see how we align with other major cities. And that concludes our workshop presentation. We welcome your feedback on our direction and sincerely appreciate your leadership in this area. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Tessa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate staff getting on this issue right away and owning it, including it in your 2015 goals. One thing that I think that we want to do early on is to identify any structural barriers that are the drivers for that that are driving the costs up as high as they are. And if we're able to identify what those structural barriers are, then we can key in on, you know, what are the issues that we need to go after to try to overcome those if we can.
I think I probably need to address that one. There will be some structural issues. And, you know, one of the things that's been as frustrating to staff as it is to the board is that we understand generally what those structural issues are, but that's sometimes you can be too close to the issue to look for a solution. I think maybe that's where the board is helping us, us being the staff at this point. And a couple of things. Number one, each and every deal that comes before you all, as Davey said, will have an analysis showing why it's higher cost. And there will be some structural issues that may be sacred cows. For instance, if we have prevailing wages, that's not the case in the private sector, and that makes a huge difference. Now, is that something that we want to deal with? That's a policy consideration at some point. Another issue is the extent of environmentally related energy conservation measures, some of which can be demonstrated as proven and some that are not, that are gospel but may not be proven in fact. There are other issues that have to do with extra building costs per unit that don't show up in unit, that show up as unit costs but are not. Meeting rooms, outside playgrounds, extra space that go with an affordable housing development that's typically not the case in the private sector. There may be issues related to the quality or durability of the property going forward. There may be issues, and I know I've heard Mr. Waring say this any number of times, issues related to developers' fees, wherein in one of these deals going forward, there is no way to get for a developer or owner to make more money. You do it up front, whereas in private sector, you do take risk, but you have the potential for great returns on the back end of a deal if it works out. There are structural issues, and I think that we will lay those out to you all. It'll be comprehensive. We'll also show them on each deal that comes before you for loans. And thank you, Ms. Spoon, for pointing out what we really were voting on at the previous item. But those will be before you on each and every deal. And beyond that, this will give me the ammunition to go to Sacramento to both elected officials and sometimes even more importantly agency heads and administrators on the effects of their policies. I can't promise you we're going to change the world, and I can't promise you we're going to change these rules and regs, but we'll give it a good effort, and I think we'll at least produce information to give you all hopefully comfort in your decision making.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, obviously, one of the things that we're concerned about is having enough of the right information so that we're comfortable that the decision we make is the appropriate decision and was based upon, you know, full information as opposed to a secondhand guess. So the more the better. Okay. Any other comments on this issue? Okay. Thank you very much for the presentation. We'll look forward to the next chapter of it in the future.
Yes, I do have a question.
Commissioner Spoon?
When are you planning on getting the BIA and the AGC involved, at the front end or the back end?
Front end. Front end. Actually, the chairman of the BIA is Jim Schmidt, who's the founder of Chelsea Investment Corporation. I've already spoken with him. One of the challenges we have is getting the data from general contractors who don't want to share. Jim said, I'll help. So.
Mr. Gentry?
Also, kind of an unforeseen result of the long battle over linkage fees is sometimes if you fight with somebody long enough, you develop more respect than if you didn't have the fight in the first place. And we have now some excellent relationships with folks in the building industry, not just the BIA, but all over the place here in San Diego. And on this issue, everybody's on the same page. So, and I think the relationships we have now that were not there even a year or two ago will help us.
Okay. Thank you very much. That is the last item on our public agenda. So is there a motion to adjourn? Second? Okay. Then the public portion of this meeting is adjourned.